climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
Congress certainly has a lot on its plate. Joining me by phone right now to discuss all of this is Fox News Radio's Ryan Schmelz. Ryan, you got the Mayorkas impeachment, averting that government shutdown, and of course, the Hunter Biden deposition. So let's just start at the top with that Mayorkas impeachment. Where do things stand right now? From there, it's great.
Yeah, so where we are right now is we're a little lost in the shuffle because you have a lot of Republicans who are pushing for more clarity on when a trial is going to be, but we still don't know when that trial is going to take place. We are expecting Leader Schumer to put together a trial for Secretary Mayorkas, but we still don't know what that's going to look like, how long it'll be. Kind of the sentiment I've gotten from some Democrats is that this will be a very brief trial. They'll try to get this over with as quickly as possible so they can move on to whatever's the next important thing. But they still do plan on having it done in a serious manner and allow the impeachment managers to make their argument. But obviously, we are expecting Secretary Mayorkas to be acquitted here.
Yeah, this has been a kind of a roller coaster of sorts. And as you mentioned, it's getting lost in the shuffle. It's easy to see why, because there are so many pressing issues right now. So let's zero in for a second on the threat of a government shutdown.
Right. So we are expecting on Friday the first round of funding to be essentially unfunded anymore, which is, you know, the Department of Home, I believe, Veterans Affairs, you have Department of Energy, you have Department of Transportation, Housing and Urban Development, all in this first tranche of appropriations bills that are supposed to be up on March 1st, which is this Friday. We do not know what the plan is for how they're going to go about funding these programs, because we were under the impression that negotiators were talking over the weekend and over the last couple of weeks trying to find a plan forward, and we were expecting an announcement on Sunday. What we got was a letter from Leader Schumer to his colleagues, and essentially accusing what he calls extreme MAGA Republicans of holding things up. And Speaker Johnson shot back and said that Leader Schumer has been making policy changes throughout this process that were not agreed to originally. So this is kind of becoming a back and forth between the two until they can figure out what to do.
So I've got to believe that's putting a little bit more pressure on the shoulders of House Speaker Mike Johnson.
Well, it always was, because he's got a lot of different wings of his party to deal with and a lot of different factions to manage right now. And one of his big issues right now is how he's going to move forward and satisfy everybody. He said that he wants to pass his appropriations bills, which would be four individual spending bills, and get them done by Friday. I believe they've already passed a couple. But to get them all passed, to get the Senate to pass theirs, and then to negotiate them, that is a tough task.
Yeah, because that doesn't leave you much time at all to be able to do that. And, you know, as you mentioned, that House Speaker Mike Johnson is trying to keep all these different groups happy. I mean, that is almost a no-win proposition. It's so difficult to keep everybody happy.
Yeah, I mean, and there's so much that Republicans lose from the fact they just have a small majority. Right now, they can only really afford to lose two votes if every single member of Congress is there and, you know, everyone's voting. So if they lose just two people on any key vote and they don't have any Democrats supporting them, usually those bills fail. So this is a very, very short margin of error Speaker Johnson has to work with.
Yeah, he's got to walk that fine line. And the other big issue, Ryan, of course, is the drama surrounding the Biden family, and specifically right now, this deposition of Hunter Biden. What can you tell us about that?
Right. So we're expecting Hunter Biden to come in this week and sit for a closed-door deposition similar to the one that James Biden, the president's brother, did last week. Now, this is kind of like the main event witness that Republicans have been pushing for. You know, Hunter Biden, a lot of the accusation about President Biden in this impeachment inquiry is that he took part in some type of bribery scheme that involves his son Hunter. Well, that now they're bringing Hunter in as a witness, and Hunter might be the easiest witness that they have or the biggest witness that they have, but whether or not they're going to get the information that they so desire from Hunter Biden is a whole other story.
Right. He hasn't exactly been forthcoming in the past. So, you know, we kind of know what we're dealing with in terms of Hunter Biden.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough road for Republicans here. We do not know what to expect with this. You know, this is something that Hunter Biden put off doing for a long time. And now he's finally coming forward. He's been more open about the idea of testifying in public. But as James Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, who's one of the guys kind of running this impeachment inquiry, has said, is, well, we're not going to make special privileges for Hunter Biden. He can sit for a public hearing down the road, but everyone who's coming for these interviews has done a closed-door deposition first and then did a public one later.
Yeah, Hunter Biden has really been very clear that that's his parameter, that's what he wants, and it's interesting to see that, you know what, they're kind of drawing that line and saying, no, thank you, you don't get special privileges.
Yep, no, and I don't think it's shocking to hear them say that or for them to want Hunter Biden to go play on their terms rather than play on somebody else's. But, you know, here we are.
Right. And what sense are you getting as far as how this is starting to affect voters' confidence in President Biden?
I'm not quite sure. You know, it's really hard to see how people feel about this, you know, because, you know, President Trump's got his issues, too, in the legal system. So
yes.
When you've got two separate sides and then you also have both the defendants here, which is, you know, President Biden and former President Trump, pointing the finger back at those who are coming after them, saying it's all political and that it's a witch hunt. You know, President Trump likes to use the word witch hunt. I've rarely heard President Biden do it, but he has said consistently that he feels this investigation to him is political. So, you know, both of them are going to have these things hanging over their heads likely until Election Day. So whether or not it's going to have an impact, we're not quite sure yet.
And, you know, despite Nikki Haley's big loss in South Carolina, she is saying that she's not getting out. She's going to continue fighting. And she's citing the fact that there are plenty of Americans who aren't satisfied with Biden or Trump.
Yes, and that's been, I think, an argument that's been made by everybody who got in the race against either Biden or against former President Trump, and that's that they are both very unpopular candidates based off of polling, and you know, there's plenty of polling data to back that up. Both of them had pretty abysmal approval numbers when they were in office. And based off just the polling that we see about people liking them, I mean, yeah, it's pretty clear people do want to have different options, but it just looks like that's not what they're going to get right now. So, you know, Nikki Haley's going to stay in the race. I mean, whether or not she can win any state is a mystery. I think some of the thought is that if she stays in the race and gets to some of the bluer states out there, their primaries might be a little more winnable, like Maryland, Connecticut, California, those states. But at the same time, by the time they get there, how far away is she going to be? And that's going to be the problem.
Right. And, you know, really a crushing defeat, in my mind, to lose your home state. If you can't get the backing of the state where you served as governor, what message does that send?
Yes, but I do think there is this little concern in Republican circles that you saw somebody nearly get 40% who isn't the former president. So that's going to be something that kind of hangs over this race a little bit. And I believe Nikki Haley did win Congresswoman Nancy Mace's district, who was somebody who endorsed Trump.
Which is very insightful. Well, there's so much for us to keep our eyes on. Fox News Radio's Ryan Schmelz, thank you for giving us the inside track on these hot topics of the day.
Hey, thank you, Jolynn. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.